Take your Bible and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We are going to continue with the thing I started on Sunday night every once in a while. Why bad things happen. Judges chapter 6. Judges 6, and I think we're going to start reading here. Well, let's look at verse 10. Judges 6 and verse 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Because they didn't obey his voice, they were in a bad position. And so he's talking to the children of Israel here, the preacher is. And then in verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. I always want to say Oprah, but that's not what it says. And that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in the basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh of the unleavened and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And look at verse 22. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, Alas, O Lord, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon tonight, please?
Thank you, Father in heaven, for allowing us to be here tonight. I'm so glad for everyone who did or did not get a nap, but still made an effort to come and worship and learn from your word, Lord. And it is good to meet together, to see everyone's faces and to hear what everyone's gone through during the week. I do pray that you bless this time now. It is important for us to gather around your word and be encouraged by your word for whatever we may face this week, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Look at verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And then look at verse 15. And Gideon said unto him, the angel, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? So the question is this, if God is with us, then why are all these things happening to us? Why is all this evil? Why are all these bad things happening unto us? And if God is with us, then where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Why are we starving? Why are we being oppressed? Why are we hiding? Where is his power? Where's God's power? Where's the miracles that we heard about when he delivered them from the Red Sea and when he delivered them from Egypt? You know what Gideon is saying? If God is a God of miracles, then where's my miracle? If God is good, then why is this happening to me right now? You know what I've heard people say, and you'll hear them say this when you witness to them? They said, the Lord is MIA. He's missing in action. All this stuff is going on, and where's God at? And they can't see Him. They can't see where the Lord is. Because if we are His children, they reason, then why is He letting us suffer when He could do something about it? Well, here's what they miss. God is doing something about it. God is doing something, and He's actively working to alleviate them of the suffering, and He's working to do something about it. They just don't perceive what God is doing, and they don't see what He's doing. Even the reason that Gideon had a chance to speak to the Lord in this passage was what? God was doing something about it. That's the only reason he got a chance to speak to Him. Because God was doing something about the suffering because He heard their cry. So next time you question God, understand this. Maybe God's doing something about it. And also understand this. Maybe you're the person that He wants to use to make a difference in that situation. Because not everybody has that question. There's those of you here tonight, and bad things happen all the time, and you never ever think, why is this happening? Why is God doing this? You just kind of, you know, that's the way life is, but you don't need an answer because you don't even have the question. And then there's others that contemplate it, and it troubles them, and it bothers them, and they're always thinking, What is God doing? Where's God at? And a lot of times the people that have those questions and ponder those things, and when God gives them the answer, maybe you are the person that God wants to make a difference in this world of suffering and problems. And another thing that we should understand is this. People that are asking those questions, we shouldn't write them off. Did God write Gideon off? Did He say, how dare you question me? Why are you asking that question? And then just kill him and do nothing with him? God didn't write Gideon off. Because he doesn't have the answer right away doesn't mean that God's not working with him. You know, sometimes the people that are asking the questions, there's a couple good things. They think that God is in charge. Right? They think that He has the power and the ability to do something and directly involve Himself in their life. So those are good things to believe about God. So when people are asking those questions, just be understanding that maybe God is working with them. God's working with them. He was working with Gideon, but He didn't give him the answer right away. He never gave Gideon the answer to his questions. But in the Bible, He has answered a lot of these questions. And you know how Gideon got his answer or came to an understanding of what was going on? It's when he started serving the Lord, even with the questions. And he went and got the kid, and he went and prepared the sacrifice. And when he did all that while he was still questioning, by the way. And then he went out, and then he brought that to the Lord. And that's when he perceived that God was there. And he perceived that an angel was there, and he was doing something in those things. So God answers a lot of your questions in the pathway of service. I want you to understand this. There's a lot of questions that we have as we grow in the Christian faith and as we begin serving the Lord. We have a lot of difficult and hard questions. God's okay with that. He doesn't rush to answer your questions right away. But I will tell you this. If you follow on to know the Lord, if you continue in the path of serving God, you will get your questions answered. Because you know why a lot of times He doesn't give us the answer to our question right now when we ask it? Because we don't have the ability to understand it. We don't have the spiritual ability to understand it. We haven't matured enough. It's like Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but I'm not going to say them right now because you can't bear them. God has the answer. The answer is out there, but you are going to need to grow to mature to get the answer. But if you don't grow, and you don't serve God and you don't walk in the pathway of obedience like Gideon was, then you're never going to be able to perceive where God is working. And you're never going to perceive the answer to those questions. Now, those are difficult questions, aren't they? If God's with us, then why are we starving? If God's with us, why are these things happening? And those are questions that I have dealt with for years. They're questions that have caused me to struggle. They have caused me to stumble. And they've caused a lot of other people to stumble. And when I have had the most difficult thing happen to me that I would ever imagine in life, I'm sure more difficult things could happen, but I didn't think there could. And when that happened to me, those questions came up, and the biblical answers to them gave me great peace. Okay? They gave me great peace. And it comes down to this. I believe in the Bible. I think there are at least six reasons why the Bible says bad things happen. And so last time when I started this, we went through a couple of them. And let's just review with 5 seconds the first two we went over. And the children of verse 1, look at verse 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Midianites 7 years. So why was the bad things happening? Well, the answer to Gideon's question, why was one of the bad things happening? Because they did evil. Is that true? So we call that reason, or I call it this, is poor decisions. Why do bad things happen? Because of poor decisions. You made the decision to get behind the wheel in a drugged state or drunken state or out of your mind, whatever happened, and then you had the wreck. Why do bad things happen? Poor decisions. And then the other thing that comes along with this, it says, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. So what's the second reason there? So one is poor decision, and the other reason that bad things happen is discipline. You know, God is our Father, and as our Father, it is His responsibility to discipline us and bring us in line when we fall out and we get away from God. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And you see that all the way through the Bible. But a lot of Christians think this. They think that every time something happens bad to me, or every time something happens to Brother Malachi or somebody sitting in the pew, they say, oh, God's getting him. God, you see, I figured He deserves that. No, you don't know what God's doing, and you don't want people looking at you that way when that happens. Remember, with what judgment you meet, it will be meted to you again. You're not God. You don't know why He does things, and you need to stop pretending to be God and knowing why He does. It doesn't always mean it could be discipline, but it could be this as well. Look at this third reason here. Look at 11 through 13, and you see where the angel comes and talks to Gideon. And Gideon asks him in verse 13, why is all this evil befallen us? And then I want you to look at verse 1, what we looked to. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then the Lord sells them into the hand of the Midianites, and they're hiding in caves, and they're being oppressed, and the Midianites are taking all their crops, and they're hiding, and they're threshing wheat at a wine. You don't thresh wheat at a wine press, but he's there doing that because he's trying to hide that from the Midianites. So who sinned in verse 1? Who was it what that sinned? The children of who? The children of Israel sinned. And because of their sin, God sold them into the hands of the Midianites, and then because of that, Gideon was suffering. Gideon wasn't the one that did it, but he was suffering because of poor decisions. So reason number three that we're going to talk about briefly tonight is, why do bad things happen? Not poor decision, sins of others. Excuse me. Sins of others. Why was Gideon suffering? Sins of others. Why do sometimes terrible things happen in life? And we suffer because of them. Sins of others. Why? you know, it's not always my sin or my mistake. Sometimes it's somebody else's sin. And the reason I'm suffering is because they're a monster. And there's something wrong with them. The sins of others. You think about God made us, and here's the thing that you have to understand about this, is God made you with a free will. He made you with a free will. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Don't you like your free will? Don't you love the ability to choose? I mean, what a powerful thing that is. And what a blessing that is. And God did that. He gave you that free will. And I mean, I have children, but I don't want to give them free will. Do whatever you want. No. But God did that. And He put some things to govern us and guide us, but He ultimately, you get to choose what you want to do. And I love that. And if you have it, you have God in mind and you want to please Him and you want to love Him, then you can use that ability for some wonderful things. You can choose to get to know Him. You can choose to read His Bible. You can choose to see people and help people and be a blessing to people. But you know what else you can do with that free will? You can say, God, I'm going to go my own way. I'm not all who wander are lost. I'm going to make my own way. I'm going to have my own, and I'm going to do whatever it is that I want, and I'm not going to consider you, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do all these bad things, and I'm going to use my free will, and I'm going to go out of control. What happened the other day in Odessa? There was a person that by their free will decided to terrorize a community and take 7 people's lives and wound someone else. So why did those people get shot? Well, I don't believe that it was because they deserved it. We all deserve. Everybody deserves to die. Everybody deserves hell. And if they deserved it, then I deserve it too. I don't think God was in there, you know, selecting people that He did not like and laughing. I don't believe that. Why did that happen? And why did it happen the other day in West Texas at Walmart? Well, there's many reasons, but it comes down to sins of others. That's why those things happen. You know what? This sin, it covers murder, rape, torture. All those things happen under this because people use their free will to do bad things. Now, how does this play out in our lives and in the lives of people that are here? Because why is this important to know? Because you have to understand that we are others. We are others. And so if we decide to sin, other people are going to pay the price. We're going to make other people suffer and bad things to other people happen. So we want to look at some biblical examples of how this plays out because we don't want our bad things that we do to cause other people to question God's existence and not have a relationship with God, not because He did something bad, but because we did something bad. What are the implications of this doctrine or this teaching that we can suffer because of the sins of others? I'll do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone. That's when you understand this, you have to understand that your sin affects everyone around you. It affects everyone out around you. It can affect the blessings of God on the city. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Why did a judgment fall on Sodom? The sins of others. And why did it, there were too many people that said, I'm not hurting anyone, I'll just do whatever I want. And when God decided to burn the city, He included a lot of Lot's family because they didn't live righteously. And because God could not find 10 people that said, I'm not going to do whatever I want, but I'm going to do what pleases God. He couldn't find 10 people that thought, everyone there said, I'll do whatever I want. And because of that, he burnt the city. When you decide you're going to do whatever you want, and use your free will, and no one's going to tell you what to do, as long as I'm not affecting other people, what you don't understand is you are affecting other people. You're affecting everybody, and it's in ways that you can never quantify. It's in ways that you can never understand, because they're spiritually understand, and you will never understand the far-reaching effects of your sin on your family, on your church, on your country, on your city, on your nation. You can't understand that. You just by faith have to learn to please God and do what He wants. Every man for himself, that's not a good philosophy. Generational sins. You ever thought about that? You know, that I have suffered in life, and I'm not mad about it or bitter about it, but I have suffered in life because of things that my dad believed that were wrong that I picked up. And those wrong ideas and those wrong mindsets and those sins that he did not perceive or believe were sin, they caused me to suffer. And if I continue down that road, I have sins, and my sins are going to cause my children to suffer. So I need to be close to God and understand as many of them as possible and get them out of my life, because they will cause my family to suffer. You understand that? So just a couple quick examples. Look at Joshua chapter 7 and verse 22. Why do we suffer? Sins of others. And you know who that includes? That includes our family. That includes our family. Look at Joshua chapter 7 and verse 22. And you know what's happening here? Israel destroyed Jericho. They're going to the next battle. In the battle of Jericho, the Lord said, all of that goes to God. Don't take any of it. And a man named Achan took it, and they went against Ai. And because of that one man's sin, it caused the entire nation to suffer. It caused many people to lose their life. It caused the blessing of God to be removed from Israel. It caused them to lose the battle from one man's sin. But here's the part I want to point out. Look at Joshua chapter 7 and verse 22. They ran unto the tent, that's Achan's hit, and it was hid in the tent, the silver under it. And look at verse 23. They took them out in the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua. Look at verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and look what else they took. His sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said in verse 25, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Why did Achan's wife and animals, why did they suffer? Because of Achan's sins. His family paid the price. Why can we suffer? We can suffer because of the sins of our family. And this is important because nothing affects us more than our family. I mean, nothing hits closer to home than our family. And what affects the suffering of the children more than anything is the family. You know, whenever you witness to people and you counsel people, you know what a major part of all their suffering is? The sins of mom and dad. The sins of others. Because they were raised by people that said to God, I don't want you. You can't tell me what to do. I am going to do whatever I want to do. And God allowed them, in His goodness, to still have kids. And that affected their kids. and their worldview, the way they looked at the world, the way they looked at suffering, the way they looked at sin, all those things that brought all those problems and all those trials on their life came down to the sins of their parents. Now, they're responsible for it, and you know this is so prevalent and deep-rooted because so many times when you talk to somebody about where they need to grow and how they need to get over some things and how they need to change their outlook, you know what they say? It's the way I was raised. You don't know where I came from. If you understood how my parents raised me, and it affects them so deeply. I sit with troubled young men all the time. I just talked to one on a trip and just so angry and bitter. And he's suffering so much because of the things that his father did to him and the anger and the resentment he holds against him because of the mistakes that he made. And that's made his life and turned it into a disaster. So listen, it's my children, my son, my 10-year-old, my 8-year-old, and my 6-year-old. Did I get that right? 7. Sorry, Noah. I know that's very important to you. I've been telling people all over the country that you're 6. Hundreds of people. I'm sorry. I'll try to get that right. These boys have suffered because of my sin. These boys will suffer because of my sin. It's very important as a parent to be close to God, and as much as lieth within you, where God shows you not to rebel, but to remove those sins out of your life. Because all through the Bible, we see the consequences in where children suffer from the consequences of their sin. I was in Idaho, and my friend Roe led this young man to the Lord. And he said, I want you to meet these guys that I've led to the Lord. And they were having a Bible study there. And I go into this room full of, praise the Lord, young men in their 20s that got saved. And they're having a Bible study. And there was something that was out of place. There was a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. There was a little boy and a little girl. And they were just walking around. And this guy would pick him up and this guy would pick him up. And I said, what's going on with these kids? And their mom, they'd met in the military. Their mom was from Germany. She went back. And now these kids are there. And they were having a Bible study, and they were trying to keep the kids quiet in this other room. And I don't like a situation where there's kids, and you know, whoever has access to them, that's not good. So I said, I'll keep the kids quiet. And there, talking to the kids, and I said, let's pray. I want to pray for you guys. They said, who do you want to pray for? And they said, Mama. And innocent, sweet kids. And it broke my heart. And I put my hand on them. I said, God, please. Do a miracle. Save their mom. You just saved their dad. Praise the Lord. Lord, you're their only hope. But just to see that, it's the sins of others. And a lot of people, they shake their fist at God. And they say, why are you doing this? And God said, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. This is all contrary to what I want. For generations, it's contrary to what I want. I didn't want his dad to do that, and I didn't want him to do that, and I didn't want him to do that, and him to do that, and him to do that. for generations, all the way back to Adam, this is not my will. This is their will. Sins of others. Always keep that in mind, that it affects. They need that. They need security. You know, if you have a daughter, you know what God did? He put you as a father in her life to guide her and shape her and mold her and teach her how to live for God. You know what happens a lot of times is fathers don't take that responsibility. And then the daughter gets married, and even if she means well and loves God, she has a hard time understanding how to fall in line behind her husband and follow and allow him to help her grow. And then all kinds of more suffering exists. Why? Because the father didn't take his position seriously that God gave him. And he sinned against God and shunned it. And mothers, you know what they do? They don't listen to God and how he wants to set up marriage. And they make their own way. And they won't listen how God wants to. And then they raise children that don't know how to listen. And the suffering, it just continues. Our children can cause us to suffer under the category of family. I was thinking about Esau. Esau was 40 years old and he married the daughters of Canaan. And it says they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. They were a grief of mind who he married. And then the whole thing happens with Jacob, and Rebekah says, you know, Esau is going to kill Jacob. And she said, I am weary of life because of the daughters of Heth, Esau's wife. I'm weary of life because of my daughter-in-laws. They caused me so much grief and problems. I can't take it if Jacob does that too. So why don't we send him to Padan-Aram and he can get a wife down there? Let's send him away. And it said, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his father, he went and he married more of them. For what reason? Just because mom and dad don't like it. And if they don't like it, I'm going to do that. And you know, it's a funny thing. And I see it a lot with Christian kids. But they decide that daddy doesn't like something. And I'm mad at dad. So I'm going to do this just because I think this is the thing that's going to hurt him the most. And the reason why they're doing it behind all that is to injure their father, injure their mother, injure their parents, and hurt them the best way they know how. And you know what we can do? All of us, we can suffer because of children. And this is a, look, it's a deep, deep-rooted pain. When your kids, when your own children that you have loved and gave everything for, turn on you, and I haven't experienced this yet, but I've seen the tears and talked to people that have. When they turn, they say, no. Man, that's painful. And you know what you need to understand? God's not making you suffer. Your children are. It's not God that's doing this to you. It's the children. Then you have siblings. I think about Tamar. How many of you know who Tamar is in the Bible? Tamar. Tamar was a wonderful young lady. She was fair. But she had a brother named Amnon, and he wanted to do evil things to his sister. But he didn't think that he could do it, but he had a friend that gave him the courage and talked him into it. And so he acted like he was sick and he laid down, and when his sister came in to feed him, he forced her. And you know what the Bible's talking about when it says that. And it says then, and later in that verse, in that chapter, it says, and she remained desolate at her brother Absalom's house. You know what that is? That's broken. That's desolate. That's just somebody that loves you and should care for you. And I know that in this room, they say it happens to 1 in 3. That seems like a very high statistic. I don't necessarily know that, but I know that it happens to a lot of people. What happened to Tamar? I know that it's happened to people statistically that are in this room. And you know what? I've also had conversations with the same people. Why did God? And I said, honey, it wasn't God. It wasn't God. You're not suffering at the hands of God. You're suffering at the hands of someone else. God doesn't want any part of this. And can I tell you that God will hold that person accountable? And even if they think they get away with it throughout life, 50% of murders go unsolved, there's a God and there's a judgment, and everybody's going to answer at that judgment, and they will be held accountable. It's just sad. The sins of others, spouses. You think about Abigail and Nabal and how she suffered because her spouse was of the devil. And, you know, it's an awful thing if you're going to make your spouse suffer. That's not good. But people do. And then, as we quickly move along, you have nations and countries. So in the first part of that chapter, Judges chapter 6, why were they suffering? Because of the decisions of the nation. I went to the Bahamas, and I was on the island of San Salvador, and I was talking to Pastor Gary Hanna, and I was talking to Brother Kwame, and I said, why is it that the Bahamas and all these Caribbean islands, why is it different than Haiti? I mean, Haiti has more natural resources. The Bahamas has no natural resources. Haiti has more opportunities. What is the difference? This is their perspective, both a lot of the Haitians and a lot of the Bahamians. They said, well, it goes back to this. Our country was founded by Christians, and Christopher Columbus came here, and he named it San Salvador after the Lord, and the blessing of God was here. He said when Haiti gained their independence in the 1700s, that rebellion, it started and it was sparked at a voodoo conference where the leader of that rebellion at that meeting dedicated the country to the devil. And I don't know all the history and how much of that is true and how much of it's not, but I do know that there are many people around the world that are suffering in these kinds of countries because their leaders have chose to reject God and reject His commandments and reject His way of life. And they don't worship God and they don't serve God. And as a result, there's all kinds of people in that nation that are suffering. And you know what people do? They come along and they look over at those nations and they look at the people starving down there and they point their finger to God and say, God, why'd you do this? God said, I didn't do that. I wiped it clean and started with Noah and gave everyone a chance. And as soon as they could, they started going away from me and they've rejected me for hundreds of generations, and the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. I didn't do this. They've done that. I remember a missionary who was going to Ethiopia when he was finishing Bible school, and he had a lot of friends and they were going, and the king of Ethiopia, Haile Selassie, he's like, I saw what America has, and it's in the churches. The strength is in God. Send missionaries over. Well, he got removed from power, and the next guy came in and said, no. You shut it down. And says, we don't want it. And so when you walk around and you see malnourishment and things like that, he said, don't blame my God. They had a chance, and they rejected it. So why do people suffer? The sins of others. Why did all the people in Egypt because of Pharaoh's sins? Why did all the firstborn die because of Pharaoh's sins? And then I want you to go back to Judges chapter 6. And I want you to understand this. The wages of sin is death. And when judgment falls, it's going to fall on the righteous and on the wicked. It'll fall on the wicked. He causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. When judgment happens, many times righteous people are affected by that judgment. So when it falls, and it's going to fall on everyone, don't turn your fist to God when you see the blood in the streets, saying, why are you letting this happen? Judges chapter 6, here's the thing that we need to understand. It says, they cried unto the Lord, and then if you look at verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. You know what happens when people do right even when they're suffering? They get God's attention. They get God's attention. God hears their cry and He sees their suffering. He begins to watch them. Gideon was doing right even though he was suffering, and the angel of the Lord came to him and sat under the oak, and God saw him. And then look at verse 12, and he says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. You know what Gideon didn't understand? God was with him. He said, if God be with us, then why? And he said, God was with him. You know what God does? He does not abandon you to your suffering, but He suffers with you. Remember the fiery furnace? You know who showed up in the fiery furnace in the suffering? The Lord showed up there with him. And He said, look, the Lord is with thee, and He spoke to him. You know what happens when you're suffering and you're doing right? God begins to speak to you. And God begins to show you and teach you things that the people around Gideon didn't understand. But God started speaking to him in a special way because he was doing right even though he was suffering. And then verse 14, the Lord selected him. He said, you're the one that I'm going to send to help alleviate some of this suffering. You know what I always tell people that are very conscious of other people's suffering, and what about the people over there? I said, yeah, what about the people over there? Maybe God wants you to go over there and to preach to them and help them. And Gideon said, what about this suffering? And God said, good, I'm going to send you to take care of it. You know, don't give me a complaint without a solution. A problem without a solution is a complaint. And the Lord had the solution. It was Gideon. And then God sent him into verse 14. And then look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, I will be with thee. He strengthened him. And then he did that. And look at verse 24. The angel of the Lord shows up and he puts that offering there and he touches it with his staff. And what happened? It bursts into flames. Then look happens in 24. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it what? Verse 24. What did he call it? You know what that means? God is peace. He found peace with God in the suffering. And the suffering may or may not stop. But he never would have found that peace without the Lord and without the suffering. You know what? I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know what you're suffering or who you know that's suffering. But I know that if you get a hold of God, you can find peace in that suffering, even if it's the sins of others. God's here to help you with it. God's here to bless you and take care of you. God didn't cause it, but He sure is going to help you while you go through it. Those that suffer with Him will reign with Him. And one day He's going to wipe those tears away from the... Don't turn on God. It wasn't God. All right? All right, let's stand. And if we can have the piano player come, and we'll be dismissed in a song. And after Brother Cormican sings a couple stanzas of a song, then Brother Henshaw, will you please come and dismiss us in prayer? and you this mic, and we're glad to see you. We're glad you come and visited AJ before he moves out of the country. You guys did good tonight.
We're 72. Let's sing all three verses of this song. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth the ham be won.
It's always a blessing to be here. I really appreciate you guys. You're a wonderful, wonderful congregation, and what a wonderful church. And I enjoy it, fellowshipping with you every time we come. And I'm sorry my son's banding you. Isn't that terrible? I'll just have to send another son out here, okay? Well, sure do love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together tonight. What a wonderful message, Lord. We can trust you. We can put our faith in you, and we can rely on you for every situation. There's nothing that's going to come into our lives, Lord, that you don't already know about, and that you have already prepared a way for us to deal with.